Conrad Smith has been part of the chemical side of ag retail for nearly two decades. We talk about brokers in the retail industry and some misunderstandings about ag retail in general. Conrad also dishes on why he's not a fan of marketing promotions, but he understands why they're used. I'm Ashley Davenport, and you're listening to the Ag Pro Podcast. I am so fortunate to be able to talk with one of the, what I think it's fair to call him, one of the head honchos on Twitter, Mr. Conrad Smith.
Well, oh my gosh.
I think it's fair to say that you are one of the head honchos on Twitter.
I'm red in the face right now. I don't think that's true. I think that, you know, it's like watching a train wreck with my Twitter account, but, you know, if that makes me a head honcho, okay.
Look, I feel like you and Faber and Angie, you guys could all be the leaders of Ag Twitter.
Yeah, them probably more so than me. I mean, people like them, so that's...
Okay, you're not giving yourself enough credit, Conrad. You're not, far from it. So Conrad is the sales manager for Smith Agri Services Incorporated. You're based out of West Central Illinois, and you cover Quincy, Illinois, Hannibal, Missouri area, right, Conrad?
Yes, mostly. I mean, we go out a little further than that with chemical sales. You know, direct sales on cash and carry and seed as well. But as far as our custom app, that's kind of our range.
Okay. You're not new to the game. How long have you been involved in retail and the chemical side?
Oh, gosh. Close to 20 years. And, I mean, I've been a part of this business since I was in my, you know, 10 or 11 years old. I've been working summers down here and on the weekends and that type of thing. So I've been around, you know, for someone that's just 40, I've been around for a few decades.
How'd you end up on the side, the chemical side?
I'm involved with fertilizer and seed as well, but I definitely have an affinity for the chemical side. I think probably because that was, you know, my dad's favorite part, who started the business, you know, just being able to solve problems with chemistry and, you know, just figuring things out. And I think more so than the other inputs, I feel like it requires a little more thinking.
Interesting. Yeah, because that's not where my head's geared toward or anything, and I think anybody that has a mind and does that sort of thing, kudos to you. Like I said earlier, you're big on Twitter, at Smith Ag Conrad, and one of the reasons that my editor and I, we were kind of wanting to touch on this topic, is from something you tweeted out.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. But it's a good thing.
You said
something about chemical brokers aren't new to the business.
Yeah. And so, I mean, and it was basically just, you know, you see a lot of static on Twitter, and not everybody sees things the same way or has the same exposure, you know, or life experiences. And so from my point of view, and having been around this business, you know, since I was a kid, I've known about chemical brokers and who the players were in that market. And many of them are, you know, from the Midwest, at least the ones that I'm aware of. So, you know, even though it's online today and maybe more advertised by some than others, it's certainly not new. And I guess, you know, because of the number of retailers in the area which I work versus some of the other areas of the country, you know, our exposure to price discovery is probably different than what it is in the states of maybe Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, and the Dakotas. And that's something that I've learned because they just don't have the same retailers, the same number of retailers, you know, per, you know, in their geography, I guess, as we do here.
Okay. So can you talk a little bit about, at least in your area, what that chain of command, what that system looks like for someone that might not know?
Yeah. And again, I'm looking at it from an independent retailer perspective, but basically you start with, you know, say it's a branded product, okay, and we'll call it Brand X. And, you know, let's say that Brand X has a redemption price or an anchor price from the manufacturer that's $100 a gallon, okay? And the manufacturer will come, have a representative that comes and sees me, and they'll, you know, give me a sheet of, okay, we will pay you 10% on every gallon of Brand X that you sell. Well, that's easy math, you know, basically 10 bucks is 10% of 100. But I actually purchased the chemicals from distribution. And distribution is a little bit harder, I think, to, you know, describe in a short segment, but I'll do my best. There are many different distributors in ag retail chemicals, and not all of them are the same. You have distributors that are owned, that are part of, you know, your largest retailers in the world, like Nutrien or Helena. Then you have distribution that is that are cooperatives like Winfield and West Central, and then you have distribution that, you know, they may be formulators as well for even major manufacturers like Van Diest and then I think Rosen's does some formulating, and so there's more than one business model that fits distribution. But they are who actually sell chemicals to someone like myself or an independent co-op or even large regionals those types of things. And they will have a price sheet that is basically like a spreadsheet. And it'll go from the months of December all the way to the months of June and have an APR on the price point every month that changes. It graduates to the month of June. And so, like Brand X that we talked about before, might be $98 on the December 15th pay date of their price sheet from distribution. And it might be $110 by June if I buy that product then, okay? So, and then distribution will also offer me a program payment, or as we call it, wrap money. So if I take Brand X and I buy it December 15th, I'm paying $98 for it. And then they agree to pay me, let's say, a 10% wrap based on the June pay date. So that's $110. So I get $11 back. So what I have to do to find my true cost is take the $10 away and the $11 away from the $98. And let's say I got another, you know, $4 for early ordering from the manufacturer, okay? That's a total of $25, 10 plus 11 plus 4. So if I paid $98 for it, I've got an actual cost of $73. And from there, I will sell my chemicals. That's my dead cost. Now, deals between distribution and retailers change based on the retailer and the distributor. And the same with manufacturers and distributors and manufacturers and retail. So when I see people complain that, well, this guy's price on Brand X wasn't nearly as good as this guy's over here, well, that may be because this guy's doing business with a completely different chain, and he may have better prices on other products. But he's, in fact, just trying to make the same margin on Brand X as everyone else. And I think that's where the fundamental misunderstanding happens. Now, when the brokers come into the game or people that resell chemicals or some of the online presence that you see, at least with branded chemicals, you're going to see those guys are often purchasing their chemicals from distribution and or retail. And they're buying it at a, you know, severely discounted price because there's no service attached to it. So, you know, and this is a problem with our industry that doesn't get talked about. You know, someone comes to me and says, I need you to move 10,000 more gallons of brand X. Someone like me might be enticed to go to a broker and try to make 50 cents a gallon to achieve that goal to get a better price on my brand X chemicals overall. Now, you're not supposed to do that. I don't do it, but I compete against it, and I see it every day. And I guess that's, you know, my issue with it is, you know, there's only so many acres out there, and we lose some every year to urban sprawl and that type of thing. Not everybody can grow every year, but to get the best deals on products, you have to grow. And that's a real challenge. So anyways, that's my long-winded answer to your question.
No. I appreciate that because you painted a really good picture on how that works, and especially for someone like me that needs nice round numbers to understand a concept, you did really well.
Well, I needed the right nice round numbers, to be honest. And I guess that's my frustration, ultimately, when I see things said like, well, we brought transparency to the market. No, you didn't. Or we're eliminating steps in the process from the manufacturer to the farm gate. No, you're not. And, you know, the idea that distribution is going away, I can tell you since 1993, distribution has been going away, but yet it's still here. And so I get a little bit, I kind of grin a little bit when I see or hear those things because I'm like, gosh, you know, you think you've just reinvented the wheel and you haven't. That's just my take.
Well, and it's kind of like, you know, TV and radio. Oh, it's going away. It's going away. Things just kind of change and adapt, right? Would that be kind of a fair?
Yeah, of course. I mean, and you know, I actually spoke about this, I think, on Twitter maybe a year ago. Somebody said, well, I've, you know, canceled this or canceled that because I just do YouTube videos or I just do, you know, podcasts. I kind of like it when the media all ties together. You know, when I can follow someone on social media, maybe, you know, see some of their other media, be it YouTube or Instagram or whatever it is, and then they've also got, you know, TV or a podcast or a radio show. I love, you know, being able to tie into something that I'm interested in a multi-pronged way.
Absolutely. So you're talking about chemical brokers and be it ag retail or the chemical side that is misunderstood.
Well, I think, you know, the other thing that I find a little bit amusing is, I mean, there are brokers in seed and fertilizers, too. They're not as market-facing, okay? But I would say that, you know, fertilizer is probably one of our most transparent markets. I mean, those deals are pretty straightforward. All the players kind of know what everybody's cost position is, and there are ways to get a better cost position. They're not always very friendly ways to do that. Like I could buy fertilizer for $20 a ton cheaper if I wanted to buy it from a broker on the river, but when that barge shows up, it could be Christmas Eve and 3 foot of snow on the ground, and they want it unloaded right then. They don't really care about my problems or what I'm doing. So if I, you know, and I could lose that $20 really easily. So we kind of all know what everybody's position is. And I would just say that that's a very transparent market, and yet it's not a very friendly market to the grower. So the idea that, okay, if we just have transparency, everything's going to be great. No. What are you paying for anhydrous today? I mean, that's a transparent market. You know, is it great? I don't know. It's a good question, I guess. I don't want to answer it. I want people to think for themselves and answer it for themselves.
And that's important, especially when people do kind of expect that answer given to them on a golden platter that this is what you need to do, when actually it's a lot more involved than somebody telling you. You've got to think, okay, what am I dealing with? And taking
into... Yeah, certainly. And you know, another thing that I think is, you know, that gets talked a lot about, you know, both at the farm gate and you know, in local coffee shops and areas and online as well, is the idea that, you know, how chemicals or how products are priced, you know, they think it's based on volume solely. And that's just not true. At least it's not true for me. You know, I look at it as, and I'm very transparent with my growers about this part, is I price things based on level of service. And I actually have customers that, you know, they decided that they were not going to spray anymore. They reached a certain age, or they took on more ground, and they needed to concentrate their efforts elsewhere to be efficient. And so spraying was what they gave up, spraying herbicides. And they literally walked into my office, and they said, Conrad, we're going to have you guys do the spraying. We know we're going to pay more for the chemicals. I didn't even have to tell them, because every time I'd priced them chemicals, I'd made them aware that, hey, this is what we do and this is why. And so whether somebody's buying 100 gallons of glyphosate from me or 1,000 gallons, the price point really isn't determined for me based on that. It's based on, what do you want me to do for that 100 gallons, or what do you want me to do for that 1,000 gallons? Because if I've got to scout, if I've got to spray it, you know, the more management I'm going to have in it, then I want compensated for that. Where if I don't have much skin in the game, if I'm not doing a lot, if the person that is buying it from me knows as much about chemicals as I do, which today many do, then I don't need to make a lot of money there, because I'm not going to be doing a lot.
Right.
That's just how I see it.
That's an important perspective, and I think that's fantastic that you're sharing that too. So something that I've seen, I think I've seen it on Twitter, I've heard it in other places too. I don't know if it's exactly fair to call them gimmicks, but gimmicks, rebates.
Oh boy. Wow. Yeah, we're going to just burn this place down, aren't we?
Look, I figured, you know, you'd be the one to ask these.
I despise them. I know why they're there, and because I know why they're there, I despise them. And whether it's in seed or chemicals, but here's the thing, they work. And I know they work, because otherwise they wouldn't be doing that. So, it's not how I want to do business. You know, I don't want to, like on seed, I don't want to sign guys to 3-year contracts. I want to earn their business every year, based on how my products perform and how I perform. The same thing with chemicals. The problem is with chemicals, you know, to get to the best price, sometimes you have to do all this bundling, and with the grower reporting that's required today and that type of thing, it's really hard to circumvent the programs. But yeah, there are programs that I just, you know, I look at them and I just think they're incredulous. I mean, it's like, wow, you've really made this a lot harder than what it has to be. I know that the bulk of my clientele anyway despises it, and I've lost business a time or two just because guys were frustrated with the hoops they had to jump through, and they finally just said, you know what, price me generics. I'm done with this. Or they went to a broker and bought it with the rebates already taken off. And that makes it really hard for me to, you know, be supportive of those kind of programs when I know that they've also cost me money.
Interesting. And that's kind of what I've heard, too, that why do I want to pay? I just want my product.
Yeah. I mean, and it's, you know, ultimately, I mean, there's some very good reasons, I think, sometimes. Very good reasons from a stockholder and manufacturer perspective of why they would want to do that. From a farmer perspective, usually the first year or two a program comes out, that's the best time to do it because that's when it's going to be the friendliest to the grower. If it's very successful, that program will continue to erode as the company tries to, you know, maximize their return. And that's not, you know, I'm not picking on ag. I see that across retail, regardless.
Just to let our listeners know, we're recording this on January 8th, right when China announced that they would allow imports of genetically modified soybeans from the U.S. Conrad, can you talk a little bit about that and how big of a deal this is for you?
It's a huge deal. I mean, we're Micogen seed dealers, and you know, that has been a big thrust back even before the merger. And we're excited about the technology. We're excited about what that technology means for our business and for our growers. I think that I think it can solve a lot of problems. And I like the versatility of the product. You know, you're not locked into using just one product with Enlist. Obviously, if you're going to spray Enlist, you're going to use Enlist, but a 2,4-D, you're going to use Enlist. But you know, there are other chemicals that you can conceivably use, and to help manage weeds, and that to me is very exciting. So I like that portion of it, and having done business with Dow for a number of years and Corteva now. You know, I feel very confident that it's a company that's going to stand behind their product and provide support if there are challenges.
Absolutely. And Conrad, we probably should have touched on this earlier, but talk a little bit about your business and other things that you've got your hands in right now.
Well, I mean, we're a single-cell ag retail business. We do have some outside salespeople that sell seed and chemicals for us in various areas. I pretty much will go anywhere to on cash and carry, but, you know, we're certainly not one of the large players. But we have a good business and we have an excellent clientele. We're thrifty and we try to run on low overhead, but take good care of the equipment and, buildings that we have. We pride ourselves in that and being good stewards. I mean, we really feel like if a producer spends their money with us, you know, if we maintain a quality looking place and that type of thing, you know, it shows them that we care enough about the money they spent with us to reinvest in ourselves and to take care of what we do have. So that's pretty important to us. We are exclusive today with Micogen Seeds on seed, and it's because Micogen has done a very good job of standing behind us and our growers and always providing good support, and when there were challenges, we were never left twisting in the wind. I mean, they were always there, and I think that's an option I hope that growers consider. No matter who they buy it from, of course, it'd be nice if it was from me. But I hope it's an option growers consider, you know, nationwide.
And if somebody does want to buy from you, where do they go to get in contact with you? Twitter's a good source.
Not everyone's on Twitter. You can just most easily, you know, reach me at, you know, 217-257-2260. That's my number, and I'm usually available.
Awesome. Well, I have been talking with Conrad Smith. He's at Smith Conrad Ag on Twitter. He is the sales manager with Smith AgriServices Incorporated. Conrad, thanks so much for talking with me today.
Thank you, Ashley.
I'm Ashley Davenport, the host of the Ag Pro Podcast. Thank you again for joining me this week, Talking Ag Retail. Each Wednesday, I release a new episode on the AgriTalk app or wherever you listen to your podcast. And if you have an idea for a podcast, I'm open to it. Let me know. You can tweet at me at AshD926, or if you don't have Twitter, send me an email, adavenport@farmjournal.com. Until next week, guys, have a great week and stay safe out there.